So just recently, it was the end of an era. The end of an almost 200-year-old era, I think?
Yeah, the Raiders are leaving Oakland.
Yeah, that's unfortunate as well.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 551, Ringling Brothers Memories. Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus folded up its tents and called it quits after 146 years last May. As many of you know, my RSC partner and co-author Reed Martin spent 2 years touring as a clown with Ringling Brothers, and he was nice enough to share his memories of touring with that fabled institution, after, of course, I had broken the news to him. I was talking about the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus shutting down.
Say what now?
Oh dear, you should know this.
You should really read the clown newsletters.
I guess, you know, there's circus social media. I just don't pay enough attention. So I was taken aback
by the announcement.
By the announcement, yeah. It just seemed like such an institution. It seemed like such a brand,
yeah.
And it had been around, 146 years?
Is that what it is? Yeah.
And they announced it, they closed it in the middle of a season, which was also odd to me, that they rehearse in December or January and then open the show in the new year, and the show goes out on a two-year tour. So once it's, it was odd to me, they closed, there's two units touring right. The country, the blue and the red, yeah. And they closed them in May. And so,
before I would imagine the big summer circus season.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's a circus season okay. anymore. But once you've rehearsed it and built everything,
yeah.
So I don't know. All the clowns were shocked. There's a lot of back and forth on the interwebs, supposing trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different theories. Some people like to say that, you know, they took the elephants off the show, and the elephants and clowns. The circus saying is elephants and clowns are the two pegs on which you hang the circus.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the elephants away. They'd been getting a lot of trouble from animal rights groups.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, to be fair, I'm not sure Ringling ever lost a lawsuit to any of these groups. When mm-hmm. they were sued, it always got a lot of attention.
Right.
But my guess is the economic model of Ringling just doesn't work anymore, because circus is certainly not dead. Cirque du Soleil is thriving,
sure.
and a lot of
sure.
other there's a lot of other small circuses. But traveling around on a mile-long train with 150 performers and 150 crew, and having to, you know, rent these huge 20,000 or 30,000 seat coliseums, maybe that just doesn't work anymore.
Even when you're paying everybody pennies.
I started at $180 a week, and I was happy to get it.
I was happy to get it. So was Ringling still a family business? I mean, not the Ringlings anymore, the Ringling Brothers, but it was the Feld family, right?
Yes. Irvin Feld bought it from John Ringling North in the 60s.
1960s.
Yes, in the 1960s, not the 1860s. Then he sold it to Mattel and made a tidy profit.
Oh, very good.
And then bought it back a few years later for a lot less. So Irvin Feld was quite a smart businessman, and
yeah.
he loved the circus.
Yeah.
He had passed away shortly before I went to clown college, a few years before I went to clown college. And mm-hmm. Kenneth Feld, his son, took it over. And now his daughters, Kenneth Feld's daughters, were actively involved in it. But yeah, it's a private company. Absolutely.
Do you think part of their plan is to reconfigure it in some new business model?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Again, there's a lot of back and forth between the clowns saying, well, what do you think is going to happen? Do they want to sell it? Big Apple Circus in New York, mm-hmm. which is big on the East Coast, went through bankruptcy and somebody bought it and are in the process of reviving it and assigned some big acts.
Right.
Certainly the name would have value. I wonder if the family is concerned if they sold it and suddenly it was very profitable, they don't look very good. There's another supposition that they closed it in the middle of the season, and in 12 or 18 months they're going to say, due to popular demand, we're reconfiguring this show and we're going to take it out and maybe do a one-ring show, you know, that tours around. Or maybe we find a building in Las Vegas or Atlantic City or Orlando and have a sit down, because as I said, you know, Cirque du Soleil is certainly thriving and is a one-ring circus, as a one-ring tent show, or in buildings.
What about? Do you think that when they closed down Clown College, that was a sign of things to come?
Well, you know, I don't think so, because it was 20 years ago. They did spend a lot of money on Clown College, and I think Clown College has been responsible in many ways for the renaissance of circus in North America, because so many graduates not only went to work on Ringling, but ended up working on the Pickle Family Circus in the Bay Area and founding the Big Apple, and then, you know, ended up working in Cirque du Soleil in various places.
Well, and I wonder, too, if it not in addition to what you're saying, that it also energized the respect shown to the art of clowning, because you have so many guys that crossed over into other things, yourself included. But I'm thinking of Bill Irwin and Penn Jillette and those guys.
Other people went into, I think, makeup, and I think there's an Oscar winner who graduated from Clown College. Yeah. Here's somebody who you would never think went to Clown College, David Strathairn.
Wow.
Went, you know, because you don't think of him as a funny guy. But so a lot of, you know, you don't know where it led. But I think one thing Clown College, I actually think kept their costs down in terms of salaries for clowns, because you had a constant supply and you were sort of considered interchangeable. I think when I was on the show, maybe there was a number of clowns was in the high 20s or low 30s.
Okay.
And over the years, it shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. Shortly after I left, they decided to downsize Clown Alley. That's what you call sort of a gathering of clowns, a herd of cows.
A pie of clowns.
Yeah, an alley of clowns. And hire people from outside to sort of be feature clowns, and then fewer clowns to support. But although Clown College was, although it was expensive to run, salaries were low.
Right. When you joined Clown College, I mean, when you applied to Clown College, had you been a fan of circuses as a kid?
Our family was not a particularly dedicated family of being very interested in the circus. Yeah. We went a couple of times. I remember they had a famous little person called Michu, who I found subsequently... It's quite a piece of work. He played Alf, if any of you remember that show.
Really?
He came over from Hungary. And
he was not the voice. He was the guy in the suit.
He was the guy in the suit.
Yeah.
So I remember going to see The Marriage of Michu and another thing. I was not one who was afraid of clowns. We enjoyed the circus, and we would go occasionally. Right. There's other people who joined, you know, as clowns who just went every year. They knew everybody's names. I was not that guy. But I've told the story before. I'd gone through undergrad and graduate school and was living in New York, kind of thinking, well, how am I different from a million other people who want to be actors? And I thought, well, I'm funny verbally, but I'd like to be funny physically as well. I'd like those skills.
Right.
And I'd known that Penn Jillette and Bill Irwin and other people had gone to Clown College. So I applied to Clown College and got in. And it was a 10.5-week boot camp in Venice, Florida. I happened to go on the 20th anniversary of Clown College, which was 1987.
Okay.
And so at the end of our term of college, all past clowns and road clowns were invited down to Venice, and there was a big celebration. They shot a TV special featuring Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
And then you go on the road, and the road is a whole different experience from Clown College. Steve Smith, who was the dean of Clown College when I went, was just all about, you know, heart and passion and love of the art. And you get on the road, and it's a grind.
Yeah.
Right? And so the trick of Clown College was getting people excited but keeping them realistic.
Well, let's talk about Steve Smith for a second, because he's such a great guy. And as you say, he's all about the art and all about the passion. And yet I have this, when I think of Clown College, even though I know Steve now, I still have this image of a kind of a Lou Gossett Jr. figure, you know,
like a drill sergeant,
a drill sergeant clown, and I wonder if is that fair? But also, does Steve have a little bit of that in him? Do it, because I think he might. Because I'm
remember when he's worked with us on our shows, right. You know, he'll go, yes, but you're not doing it right. Do it again.
Yes.
Right.
No, he's got a huge heart. He'd always say a clown has to have a heart the size of Alaska.
Yeah.
But he's a big ball of energy, and he's demanding.
Yeah.
But in the best possible way.
Yeah, in the best possible way.
And they want to push people at Clown College because, right. You know, on the road you're going to be pushed. So they want to see how people react under stressful situations and when you're tired and when you don't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
How do you react? Are you going to be a good soldier, so to speak?
Well, I remember when you and I got our MFA. We went to Berkeley together. We got our MFAs at different schools, but at the same time, we were in New York together in the late 80s. And I was working for American Stage Festival, and you ran off to join the circus, and we corresponded via, what were those called? Letters.
Oh, yes. I think there's paper and pen.
And you had to find a stamp and an envelope and a post office. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Half.
Very quaint. Very quaint. But I remember you saying that you did whatever. You did 8 shows, 10 shows over a weekend because you said that the Ringling Brothers motto is where quantity is job one.
Well, yes. We would do... often we'd call them six packs on Saturday and Sunday. 3 shows Saturday, 3 shows Sunday. Sometimes one would do 9 packs. It wasn't common that you do 3 shows on Friday, but sometimes you would. And it commonly... usually you do 12 or 13 shows a week, whereas in the theater, the most you do is 8.
Well, and now that the Ringling Brothers, the circus has shuttered, are you still in touch with many of the either clowns or acrobats or other artists of the circus all these years later?
Yeah, I think, present company excluded, I think I'm more in touch with people I went to clown college with than I am people I went to undergraduate and graduate school.
Interesting, yeah. Well, there's something about, yeah, you're throwing.
Yeah, there's a kind of a brotherhood, and like people you go to college with, then you go home and you're in an apartment. When you're on the circus, it's a very tight unit, and you spend hours and hours together, and travel by train, and you're playing Madison Square Garden, and there's just the hijinks because the circus is so G-rated, right? But everything that goes on backstage is a hard R at best, right? And you just have all these stories and experiences that you share, and you bond.
Well, and you've all made the choice to be there, as opposed to college. I mean, I suppose you've all made the choice to go to the same college, but here it's a real thing. I mean, is it more like the military? I mean, you're thrown into kind of intense situations where you're not dodging bullets, but you're dodging little kids poking on your clown nose.
Well, the term Rambozo, we use in our Complete History of Comedy abridge, there's a character named Rambozo, and that came from the circus. Yeah. Get in, get the laugh, and get out. So there is kind of it runs like the military. Everything, you come into a town, the train pulls in, they get all the trucks, and they pull everything to the arena. I mean, it all kind of runs like clockwork.
This is Steve Smith, former director of Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Clown College, a short, bald, middle-aged man, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Next month in August, you'll be able to see James Percy, Matt Pearson, and Joe Maudsley perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged at the Gilded Balloon in Edinburgh. And this fall, starting in September, you can see us perform All the Great Books abridged, William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged, and the Ultimate Christmas Show abridged across the U.S. in Culver in South Bend, Indiana, West Long Branch, New Jersey, Aiken, South Carolina, Davis, California, Laramie, Wyoming, Asheville, North Carolina, Maryville, Tennessee, Somerville, New Jersey, Algona, Iowa, Reston, Virginia, and Orange County, California. Also this September, you can see us perform the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged revised in Hong Kong and Singapore. Tickets are on sale now. And next winter, we'll be performing William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged off-Broadway at the New Victory Theater in New York City. And a year from now, in 2018, we'll return to the Pittsburgh Public Theater to close out their season with our production of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. Well, it's interesting that so many different kinds of circuses grew up in sort of, you know, like weeds or shrubs around the mighty oak that is the Ringling Brothers. I mean, I wonder now if the tree of the Ringling Brothers has fallen over.
people, more veterans of Ringling Brothers will form other circuses in their wake, do you think?
Well, I hope so. Circus folk, with the closing of Ringling, are primarily concerned with all their friends who have lost work.
Yeah.
It's the biggest show. Well, now circus, I'm sure bigger.
Right.
But when I was on the show, if you could get a 2-year contract with Ringling, that was like you've grabbed the golden ring. Yeah. And so all these people are losing work. The other thing is a lot of these animals, people think, oh, we're going to close a circus and save these animals. I think a lot of these animals may be put down because what are you going to do with them?
Yeah.
I hope not. That's not the case, but I've kind of heard that that might be happening to some animals.
Yeah, I saw a video on Facebook that somebody had posted of a female elephant trainer kind of lashing out at PETA and animal rights folks about how well she treats her animals, and you know. But in the video, the elephant wanders off. She's going, "Hey, come back!" And he's like, "Wow, okay, you really are keeping that slave really well treated."
Elephants are so smart.
Yes, right.
They are super smart. I have very strong memories of you have the animal trainers, and they want their animals to be healthy. They want them to live a long time. They've put a lot of money into these animals.
Right.
They've trained them for years, and their livelihood depends on it.
Yeah.
But you also have handlers, and the handlers come and go. They used to be called roustabouts. They don't call them working men. And to be honest, when I was on the show, a lot of them felt like they were half a step ahead of the law.
Right.
And so the working men sometimes didn't know what they were doing, at least to start with. Mm. So before the Elephant Act, they'd line up all the elephants. And if you had a new handler and you put the elephants lined up in the wrong order, then the working men would step out to have a cigarette, and the two elephants would just sort of quietly switch places back to where they know they're supposed to be, and then do the act.
Wow, that's it. Well, and that's the other argument, I would imagine. You know, yeah, they are incredibly smart animals. Maybe they shouldn't be forced to be doing circus tricks.
Yeah,
although you're pretty smart, you were forced to do circus.
conditions, you know, these tiny little spaces, and they're forced to do things they don't want to do, and that's just the clowns.
Yes.
I think the treatment of the animals has improved since I was on the show. When I was on the show, the tigers were in a cage, a small cage, except when they performed. When they performed, that's when they got to run around the most. The elephants lived with a front and a back foot chained to the floor, except when they were walking to and from the train and doing the act.
Yeah.
I know I've gone back to the circus from time to time since I left, and the elephants now have more room to wander around. I think the big question is, should animals, wild animals, be confined? Now, I will also say this. These elephants are not wild. I don't think they could survive in the wild.
Right.
They're probably been, elephants have been domesticated for hundreds or thousands of years.
Like horses.
So these really are not wild elephants.
Yeah.
But I think animals like that are, I'm certain they're happier with room to wander around.
At best they could go to a zoo now, hopefully. Or some
wild animal park.
A preserve, yeah. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. I guess from now on, we'll have to see what other circuses pop up in the wake of the demise of Ringling Brothers. Plus, we can look forward to the upcoming musical biography of P.T. Barnum, due in cinemas on Christmas Day of 2017, starring Hugh Jackman. Send us your circus memories via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @AustinTichner. You can follow Reed on Twitter, @ReedOfRSC. And the RSC is on Instagram now, too, @ReducedShakespeareCompany. Thanks, as always, to Clown College alum Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Nancy Christie. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to our old friend Steve Smith, former dean of Clown College and currently the creative director of Circus Center in San Francisco. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 551 1653rds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Well, and fingers crossed that you and your clown friends can also be released into the wild or to...
We just don't know what to do in the wild. We need to be confined and treated harshly.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.